Welcome to the Cybersecurity Expert Podcast, where you learn from the best cybersecurity minds, helping MSPs become cybersecurity heroes for your small business clients. And now, here's your host, Cybersecurity Sherpa, Jennifer Bleem.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode. Jennifer Bleem here, and I am joined by a very, very special guest. I've got Mike Michalowicz on the line. He had a cancellation, and I grabbed it as quickly as I could. He is the author of Profit First, Surge, The Pumpkin Plan, and his newest release, Clockwork. By his 35th birthday, Mike had founded and sold two companies, one to private equity and another to a Fortune 500. And today he is running his third multi-million dollar venture, which is Profit First Professionals. Mike is a former small business columnist for Wall Street Journal and the former business makeover specialist for MSNBC. Over the years, Mike has traveled the globe speaking with thousands of business owners and entrepreneurs, and he is here today to share the best of what he has learned and how we can apply that to the MSP community. So, Mike, are you there?
I am here. Hopefully you can hear me loud and clear.
I sure can. It is wonderful when technology works. That's a good thing.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, let's jump in because I know everybody is busy and we are going to pack this as full as we can over the next 20, 30 minutes. So one thing that I wanted to chat with a little bit is the little known fact that you used to own an MSP. Is that rumor true?
The rumor's true. And it was actually even before we called ourselves MSP, I was a network integrator or a value-added reseller, a VAR.
Nice. Very, very cool. Okay, so something else that I was able to dig up just through some little people that told me is that you did some forensics or some criminal investigation maybe before it was even as cool and as cutting edge as it is today. Is that
It's funny. I seem to go back in time and be on the early cusp of things. So the network integration company, the MSP, we were doing token ring installs. This was when NetWare 2.2 had come out in Novell. Microsoft didn't even exist yet in the networking space. Then fast forward, I sold that company to private equity. I started a new business that was a natural transition from being a VAR to computer forensics. And we went on to conduct part of the Enron trial, not prosecution. That was the CIA and the FBI. We did the defense analytics for Kenneth Lay, Andrew Fastow. And some of the, actually the biggest cases in U.S. history, in world history, up to that point where there was computer evidence involved, we were such an early adopter of early provider for this market that we got some marquee cases. And then 2.5 years in, that was it. I was acquired by a Fortune 500.
Got to gobble up when they can. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, congrats. Yeah. How fun.
It was a blast.
Yeah. So did you see that trend coming or was it just, I was in the right place at the right time?
Yeah, I saw the trend coming to some degree, but in retrospect, right place, right time is I underrated the value of that. What I did see was that with the advancement of computer technology, it was actually getting easier to access data. So it used to be, if you wanted to pilfer data, it was the old floppy disk network, they called it. You would plug in the floppy disk, and you take it, and you move the data to your computer, and that's how you were transferring data. Either, you know, for good intention or bad, but that's how you do it. What I saw in the networks and ultimately the internet, when it became a transfer, not just of emails, but when it started transferring data across, I was like, oh, wow, it's getting very easy to access data. People are going to leverage the loopholes. What do we do to prevent it? And then I heard it saying, you know, it's an ounce of prevention or a pound of cure. I'm like, wow, people pay a lot more for cure. That's what forensics was. So that was my assumptions. I went into it. But there's a lot of stuff that came about that was just the right place, right time. Like I didn't plan the Enron trial. It happened to break 6 months into starting my business. I happened to answer the phone at the right time when the attorneys called and we got in. So definitely saw stuff coming, but was opportunistic and grabbed that tiger by its tail when it presented itself.
Nice. And I know inside of Surge, one book that you released 4 or 5 years ago now, you talked about staying ahead of the curve, but being able to see those trends, not jumping on too soon, not jumping on too late. And so obviously inside of the MSP space today, we've got the whole cybersecurity challenge where up until now, IT has really not changed a whole lot over the past 10 years. And now there's this shift and this transition happening. What advice would you give from inside of your Surge book to identify that trend and when to jump on?
Well, what I look for is first the downward pressure, meaning where is the market dissipating or disappearing. That's what I consider the downward pressure. And what I believe for MSPs, it used to be networks were very important. Like you used to have a central-based server in the office. It was the integration and therefore the protection of that data. Well, with the advent of the cloud and now kind of the ubiquitousness of the cloud, you don't need servers anymore. And so the opportunity, of course, was moving people to the cloud. But now with that downward pressure, the disappearance of localized data, the appearance of cloud-based data, that pushes up. It's kind of like a waterbed. You push down one side, the other side rises. No question, it's security right now. I just encourage people to consider ounce of prevention versus a pound of cure. Shockingly, but it's the truth, often it's harder to sell the ounce of prevention. So there's certain tactics, stuff that your clients should be taking. And definitely I would suggest you advise them on it and encourage and actually implore that they do it. But they fail to do it. The bigger money opportunity is going to be in the pound of cure. So I think that's where the future is. It's not necessarily in preventing a crime from happening. That's an opportunity and it should be. But once a crime happens, what tools can you put in place to reverse that as effectively as possible? I think that's where the opportunity is.
Excellent. Excellent. And obviously technology is changing. And so like you said, there's that downward pressure from the marketplace, but there's also the fact that there are dozens of IT service providers inside of any single geography. And so it also provides a way to differentiate yourself if you've got that cybersecurity expertise in your back pocket.
So. Yeah. And I also think, you know, because of the rise of the cloud, that geographic differentiation isn't as effective as niche, especially industry category differentiation. When I had my VAR, MSP, I focused on hedge funds and I got masterful at serving that community. And I also mastered their lingo. I understand the language they used. So when I approached a new hedge fund, I established credibility with other hedge funds. I knew the language, so there was perceived credibility. And I could dictate a significant premium because I knew, you know, what a Bloomberg and an ILX feed were, and my competition didn't. And I knew how to integrate them, and they didn't. My value really went up exponentially. You know, I think the same thing with cybersecurity is if we narrow down to a specific community, if you serve just the hedge funds or brokerage houses, or maybe it's pizza shops, I don't know what it is, but you pick that category, you'll understand their needs better than the generic provider, also giving you a significant advantage.
Yes, you understand their needs, you understand their pain points, you're talking in their language. And so all of a sudden you've got that rapport almost instantly. And then, like you said, you're now an expert. So your credibility goes up and therefore your rates go up.
Exactly. And you can be even more proactive because you can anticipate problems before they do. And one thing I would suggest doing, just a little side thing, is, you know, we want to prevent the crime from happening. The thing is, again, ounce of prevention, pound of cure. The opportunity here is reporting on that too. That's very important. You know, if there's an attack against a customer and you prevent it, you should say, here's a massive attack. Here is the expected damage from this attack. We have lost these assets, this and this. We prevented it. You just saved and popped out that piece of paper that says $10 million or whatever it is. Because the customers need to feel that pain. Hopefully not in actuality, but at least to see, visualize, if they didn't take the action with you to prevent it, here's the damage that would have been caused.
Excellent. So they're getting that pain. They're also kind of getting the reward of good job that you hired me and we put in this solution that you had to pay for. So there was a little bit of pain up front, but look what would have happened had you not. So
I saw a guy who installed lights in warehouses and they moved them from incandescence to LED, which for the consumer, you got more light. But then he showed, and they could see their electric bill drop, and they're like, okay, that's great. But then he keeps the report and said how much less coal was burned as a result of this location, all these other locations. And so he would actually start showing coal piling up in their reports of saved coal.
Nice.
And that became this very visceral, impactful thing. So I encourage MSPs to have something that's visceral like that.
Very cool. I like that. All right. So I know the way that you and I ultimately connected is you're going to be at the AVIC event in January, mid-January, frankly, MSP. And I think you're going to be talking about Profit First. Is that correct?
Yes.
So I'm a fangirl. I've got my copy of Profit First here, right here.
The
so
original,
Doing my best not to geek out a little bit. But can you give us maybe just a quick synopsis of what that book is, maybe as a bit of a teaser for what you're going to be talking about in January?
Oh, for sure. I can't wait for the event because the most important element of a business is sustained profitability. In fact, I suspect everyone attending there, when you start a business, you start it because it's something you enjoy, you're passionate about. Secondly, you want financial freedom. That's pretty much ubiquitous for all entrepreneurs. Yet sadly, for most entrepreneurs, they're not happy and they're not making money. The antithesis of what they expected doesn't result. Well, we'll fix that through driving profitability. And here's the essence of it. There's nothing wrong with us as entrepreneurs. We operate our businesses. We attract customers. We deliver our services. We do millions of things to make the business operate. The one fundamental thing that most businesses can't do is achieve profitability. And it's not us. It's the formula we're given. We're told that profit is a result of sales minus expenses. So sales minus expenses results in profit. And that's very logical. That's what's called GAAP, generally accepted accounting principle. Problem is, it tells us that profit comes last. And behaviorally, when something comes last, it means it's insignificant. Like I would never say, you know what, I'm going to start putting my family last, or I'm going to start putting my health last. Those are all things I care about. So my health comes first. My family comes first. Yet profit comes last. So the behavioral response is we focus on the front of the formula. We got to sell more and we got to incur expenses. We don't like to use that term. We like to say we got to grow. I got to sell, grow, sell, grow, sell, grow. And at the end of the day, the business makes no money. And actually, as it grows in revenue, there's more stress on the organization to deliver on its promises. No profit. It actually becomes more and more difficult. It becomes more volatile. So what I'm going to teach is a very basic system. It's called Profit First, which flips the formula. Now, sales minus profit equals expenses. And we're going to go into much more detail. But in the basic execution, every time there's revenue that comes into our MSP, we're going to take a predetermined percentage of that money, 5 or 6 or 10 or 20%, whatever it is, allocate that money toward a profit account, remove and hide the money away from the business, and run the business off the remainder. It's the pay yourself first principle applied to business.
Excellent. I love it. I love it. Okay. And then last thing, because I know you are very tight on time. You have a new book coming out in April. Can you give us a little bit of a teaser about what we can expect there?
Yes. And you know what? When I'm out at the event in January too, I'm going to share a little insights on this because I think it'll help people. What I've discovered is the biggest challenge entrepreneurs face is actually knowing what their biggest challenge is. I bet you a lot of people can relate to this. You come into the office and it's like a fire extinguisher. You're just putting out fire after fire. There's a lot of reaction to all the different actions going on in our business. And as your business grows, maybe you're not holding the fire extinguisher, but you're definitely a emergency dispatcher, dispatching team all over the place. It's very reactive. Well, the fix this next system, what I determined is there is a way to pinpoint the most impactful, vital need your business has at any given moment following a hierarchy of needs. Based upon Maslow's hierarchy of needs, I translate it into an entrepreneurial hierarchy of needs. But basically, we go through a simple analysis. We determine what the biggest, most impactful thing is, prioritize that, and the business will start to grow consistently and quicker than ever before. So that's what it is.
Excellent. So we've got the identification of the problem, and obviously you then have to focus on that problem.
And the resolution of the problem.
It, right. And then move on to the next problem.
So what it does is it stacks in sequence what needs to happen next, as opposed to this, what presents itself and I'm going to react to, we now start moving very deliberately in a very specific order and we start marching forward consistently.
Excellent. That clicks with my very logical brain.
I try
to always know what my number one business problem is, and it allows me to filter out all the telemarketing calls and the Facebook ads.
Right, all the distractions.
It's not solving my number one problem. I might need you later, or maybe I'll save the link, but that's not the thing I'm focused on today. So excellent. I love it. Thank you again for your time. I appreciate it. Looking forward to January. Love to meet face to face. I promise I won't go too crazy on you. But, thank you for making the time, and we will definitely talk soon.
My joy, and I will bring the A game in January. I'll see you there.
No doubt.
To learn more about how you can become a cybersecurity hero for your clients, request your hero assessment today. MSPSalesRevolution.com/hero.